Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship.
Mark 1, verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the tongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
Highway for us.
the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out! And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass, their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. Grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. Not exactly sure how or why I'm here. What is it about the wilderness? I mean, those of us who love it, really love it. And those who do not, well, they really do not. Because, let's face it, the wilderness is scary and it's unfamiliar. There's no Starbucks or comfy couch to sit on. There's no Wi-Fi. Often there's not even any cell connection, like no bars at all. The comforts with which we usually surround ourselves, the security that we've earned, well, they're all gone when you're in the wilderness. All gone. You might run into people like John the Baptist when you're in the wilderness. You know, folks who eat things like locusts and honey, dress in camel hair and leather. It's in the name, for goodness sakes. Wilderness. Wild. It's unpredictable. It's potentially dangerous. And even those who love it, they're cautious too. Right? In the wild, you listen more carefully. Bears don't come with horns to warn you that they're approaching, right? You need to be vigilant and aware. Strangers, they might not be friendly. We just don't know. And there are thorns as often as flowers, and places to trip and fall emerge as readily as places to sit and sigh. And yet that's where John was. John the Baptizer. He didn't just live there and head into the city to tell people about God. No. He lived there and insisted that they come out into the wilderness, turn their lives around, and meet God. Our indigenous siblings have always understood the wilderness in ways that many of us do not. A place to be cherished, nurtured, rather than developed. The wilderness. Yeah.
Mark's Gospel begins with these words. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" He's quoting the prophet Isaiah, who many people read to this day, trusting in his words and his wisdom, separate from a harbinger of Jesus. No, Isaiah exists entirely on his own. Words to a people who were tired and afraid. We heard them earlier in the service. "Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." A voice cries out, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. And uneven ground shall become level, the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Yeah. Almost 800 years before Jesus. And the kingdom, it was divided into the north and south, was often under attack, one or the other. The Assyrians held some of them in captivity. There was unrest, despair. There was a great feeling of futility. Unrest, despair, futility. Sound familiar? "Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, for she has paid her dues, her debts for all her transgressions. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." I'm a little intrigued that it doesn't say in the temple or in the tabernacle, in the holy places. It doesn't say prepare a feast for God, a welcome to the one who's been away. No, it invites us into the wilderness where we meet God. Why? What's wrong with the temple? Or Starbucks? I mean, seriously, can't we just hear the voice of God over a latte and maybe one of those little snowman cookies? That'd be good. Perhaps it's because God's voice is heard best when we're really paying attention. You know, like we do when we're in the wilderness, alert and aware of any sound. Perhaps we really need to listen if we're going to hear God. And perhaps we need to get away from our comforts. You know, the things that distract us and dull our senses. Our privileges that quietly assure us that we are different from the rest. And honestly, a little better than the rest. And yes, I am talking about systemic and cultural privilege. But you know what? We can talk about how real that may be. And if it applies to us later, we can talk about that at another time. It does apply to us, by the way. But never mind. Right now, I'm talking about the truth that we all have privilege. Every one of us. Each and every one of us has a context, a time and place in which we automatically are given a better deal than others. Because we know the path through the woods. Or we learned how to paddle a canoe. Or grandma always liked us best. And we have the look that just fits in. We know the band. We've been going there since we were kids. Our cousin works there. All of these things give us an advantage over others, or give others an advantage over us. That's privilege. That's privilege, whether we're talking about centuries of cultural imperialism, you know, like your folks making the rules, or simply because your buddy works at the restaurant and helped you skip the queue. Privilege. And the wilderness is a place where those have no impact whatsoever. There are no lineups. Nobody has an advantage. Which sounds really good to some people and terrifying to others. Perhaps the wilderness is that place away from the structures of life, you know? Buildings and neighborhoods, titles and roles, addictions and ego. You're not a mother or a boss in the wilderness. You're not a loser or a winner. You're not from Scarborough or Yorkville, Israel or Palestine. You are you in the wilderness. You're not an addict. You're not an expert. You're not messed up. You're not in charge. You are simply you in the wild. Which sounds really good to some and scary to others. Our indigenous siblings have always shared the wisdom that Creator is best heard and experienced in the wilderness, in that time and place where we live on and with the land, relying on the rhythms that come with the seasons and the weather, not from taking, but contributing to the health of all creation, realizing that we're part, not product or master of the land, the sky, the water, or the spirit. No, part of it. And sometimes we need to be away from all that we have created to appreciate what creation and Creator are saying to us. I think that John the Baptizer knew that. I know that Isaiah understood that. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make a highway for our God. That's where God is, he said. In the wilderness. Go there. And we do. We do go there. Some of us go there without intent. Things happen in our lives that strip away all that is not wild. The structures and the titles and the comforts and the security, leaving us vulnerable and often afraid. The death of a loved one. Depression. An accident, a disaster, a horrible miscalculation. But if we dare to look around when all has been stripped away, if we dare to open ourselves up to the experience, we very often hear the voice of God more clearly than we've ever heard it before. Because nothing's getting in the way. It's just you and God in the wilderness. In our grief, in our struggle, in our letting go, we find ourselves in the wilderness. And some of us go intentionally, you know, taking time and seizing the opportunity to let go of ego, to humble ourselves in the knowledge that we are part, not pinnacle, of creation. And it's very often a slower journey, but it is softer as we learn to let things go instead of having them pulled away. So once we get there, you know, into the wilderness, then what? Well, Isaiah told us. A voice says, "Cry out!" And I said, "What shall I cry?" What are we to cry out here in the wilderness? What exactly are we looking for? It would help to know. It would be easier to see. All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. Yeah, I think we get that. Things don't last. People disappoint. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The word of God stands. It does not wither. It does not fade. But what is it? Like what is this word of God? I mean, how does it satisfy when all other things disappoint? What is this word that is better than my ego and my achievements, my comfort and my security? Well, according to Isaiah, that word is, "Here is your God." That's what it says. Here is your God. The word is that God is in the wilderness when all else is taken away. There is God, constant and reliable and loving. And when you think about it, the message is not unlike the message last week. When the powers of the world pass away, Jesus remains. That's what I preached last week. That's what we read in the gospel. But last week, someone responded to my sermon saying, so what, we have to wait till the end of the world for things to get better? They were not particularly impressed with the notion. I don't blame them. So here is not just my response to them, but I think it is the Christmas response to them. We're not the only ones coming into the wilderness. We are invited to let go of our comforts and our security, our privilege, our ego, to come and meet God, to be with God. And in our Christmas story, in the event that shapes our faith, God comes to us as an infant. Think about that. God lets go of divine power and privilege, title and position, and ventures into the wilderness to be with us. God doesn't stay removed or at a distance, but intentionally becomes vulnerable. There are few things more vulnerable than a human baby, absolutely unable to be independent, needing the care and nurture of others. This highway to God that Isaiah beseeches us to make, well, it turns out God is making the same road from the other end and meets our efforts in Bethlehem. That's the Christmas story. God is in the wilderness with us because God chooses to be in the wilderness with us. God has made the journey along that highway. The wilderness. It's not just a place to hear God. The wilderness is a place to be with God. Isaiah tells us the answer to the question, "What shall I cry?" is, "Here is your God." I would suggest that Christmas and Jesus reshapes the grammar a little bit. What shall I cry? Your God is here. It's the same, but it's not. Your God is here. God is in the wilderness. God is in the vulnerable. God is in the love that nurtures life. God is in hope. God is in the world. Because God chooses to come into the wilderness and be with us. God makes the same journey that we make, that we might actually be together. God wants to be with us. Imagine that. So that means that we don't have to wait for it all to end before we see God. God is here now. We can try to mend and heal the world. We can work to right the wrongs. We can dare to love because we're not alone. We're not alone in the wilderness building a highway hoping to hear God. The highway has been built and it's been used. God is now in the wilderness with us. God is in the world with us. And that's the meaning of Christmas. And Advent is the time that we take to remind ourselves and prepare ourselves to live in the world with that kind of hope. Because you can't not have hope when you're with God, when God is with you. And I know I need to be reminded from time to time. Because you know what? I can wander out of the wilderness, tuck myself up into that little corner of the coffee shop and become preoccupied with my own strengths and weaknesses, my abilities and limitations. And as I focus on them, I can begin to believe that they determine the outcome. That they shape the world, my strengths, my weaknesses, my limitations. But you know what? When I remember that I'm invited into the wilderness to meet with God, then I find myself back there in Bethlehem or amid the trees. I find myself letting go of all of those things that dull my senses. I find myself back in the wilderness and discover that I am not alone. And it is God's love that will determine the future. It is God's love that shapes the world. And it is God's love that brings hope. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
Wild, searching, approaching God, we come into the wilderness to pray. Let us be just ourselves, free of artifice and agenda, sharing ourselves with you, you who come to us where we are, to hear us and to speak. God, let us share our hearts and let us listen. Let us be grateful. Let us bring to you the hurt that is in Gaza and Ukraine, the suffering that is in our midst, the memories of the murders at École Polytechnique in 1989 that resonate today and demand that we do better at creating a world in which women need never fear for their lives. We need your help, God. Let us share ourselves, our hurts and our worries, our joys and our hopes that we so often keep to ourselves. But here in the wilderness, we can share. In this wilderness of prayer, let us listen to you and hear what you are praying to us. In the silence now, in the wilderness, let us be together. Let us pray. We pray in the name of your Son, proof that you are with us, the one who taught us when we pray to say these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Go forth from this moment and know that structures may fall. Know that you may find yourself in the wilderness from time to time, but it's not a bad thing. Know that in the wilderness we are reminded powerfully that God the Creator is with us, that Jesus invites us to be with God, and that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us. Go from this moment and take the wilderness with you. Take the wilderness into your lives. Take the wilderness into the world and dare to love the world. Until we gather again, Amen.